If you take your Bible, please, we're going to spend some time in the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. And this morning's message is just some reflections in my heart from the annual conference that I just attended that I shared with you about a little bit earlier. Every conference has a theme. And the theme for this particular conference was fully invested. Fully invested, or all in, as Ron Hamilton, our conference minister, put it. All in, fully invested in the work of the Lord. And as you know, our denomination, if you want to call it that, the Conservative Congregational Christian Conference, we have three basic goals or points of focus. Does anyone know what they are? Ooh, you didn't know you'd have a quiz this morning, did you? It's right in your bulletin every single Sunday morning. So love God, love others, and as you go, make disciples. So love God, love others, and as you go, make disciples. And certainly, as we've been learning in the book of Ephesians that I've been preaching through previous to my vacation in this conference, we have seen that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. The church is likened to a human body with all of these body parts, and every individual within the body has to be doing their part, or the body doesn't function very well. But all the parts of the body are under the direction from the head, which is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the leader of this church. He is the one who leads and guides and directs and tells this particular part of the body of Christ, that's all of you and me, here's where we're going. Here's what we're doing. Here's the plan. Here's the program. Here's my word. Do what I say and follow me, and I will be with you. I will be there to protect you. I will strengthen you. I will enable you to do great and wondrous things for me. And that's the way we are approaching our church life together. What is Jesus doing, and how can we join Him in His work? It's His program. It's His ministry. It's His body, because He is the head of the church. It's not about me. It's not about some great idea I've got. It's not about some program that I'm thinking about. It's really all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And our theme, fully invested, really comes from Jesus' words. I'll read to you in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Someone came to Him and said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" That was really kind of a trick question, as a lot of the questions that people posed to Jesus were trick questions, because what they were trying to get Jesus to do is to pick one of the 10. And then we could fight about it. You know? So, which is the greatest commandment? And whichever one Jesus would say, then everyone could quibble about, well, He picked number 1, but I think number 6 is better. I think number 8 is better. Well, number 2 is pretty good. Well, we don't want to kill anybody, so we got to consider that one. And it just gives fodder for arguments in the church. Jesus was on to the plan and the scheme to trick Him. So He says this: what is the great commandment of the law? Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, the commandments all hang, and all of the law and all of the prophets." So, question was, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Which of the 10 commandments is that one? Is my question for you this morning. It's all of them. It's all of them, really. Actually, if you read all 10 commandments, it's not any of them. But Jesus is transcending all of the commandments into one commandment that if you do the one commandment, all the rest of them are easy. So we don't need to worry about, oh, am I obeying all 10? Frankly, we haven't. But if we look at this one, the greatest one, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind, and all of your strength. Notice the word all. We'll get to that. I read that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. With all your heart, and all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul. The whole essence of our being is to love God. Love God. That's why, for our denomination, if you want to call it, the Conservative Congregational Christian Conference, the number one point for our focus is to love God. We love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Life becomes a lot more simple. Love is a big word, isn't it? It's a word that used to have a lot of meaning. But I've noticed in our culture today, love is becoming a word that's very confused, very diminished in the fullness of it. Especially with the recent Supreme Court justices, you can marry whoever you love or whatever you love or how many ever that you love and all of these kinds of things. The word is getting pretty foggy. And pretty misty. And you've heard me say over and over again in the past 5 years, and you'll hear me say over and over and over again, hopefully for the next 5 years, if you'll have me, that love, biblically speaking, is more than just an emotion. It's more than just a feeling. And it's very interesting if you ask people, and let me give you this as an assignment, as you go and you live your life this week, ask someone, if you're talking to them, a friend, a co-worker, even someone in your family. So what is love? What is love? I asked that in the Sunday school class last Sunday. And my, oh my, you could hear the crickets chirping. What is love? Biblically speaking, love is much more than we think it is. We think it's a feeling, it's an emotion, it is an attraction, it's something strong and something powerful within us that we really have a hard time describing. And when we look at love that way, that puts us on very thin ice. It's like going ice fishing in early November. First week of November. How many of you would drive your vehicle out on a lake the first week of November to go fishing on the ice because it's clearly there? Well, it might be clearly there, but it's not going to hold anything up. It's too thin, right? When we look at love as a feeling, it's pretty thin ice. It's pretty thin ice because you don't always have the feeling. I could ask everyone here who is married, have you had the feeling every day, the love feeling that you had in your engagement and on your wedding day? Or does that thing come and go? We have a commitment to love. But biblically speaking, love is action. It's doing something. It's not just saying something, it's doing something. We would read in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus would say, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." A pinnacle of love, laying down your life for your friends or for your family members. Sometimes we read stories. We see stories on the news where somebody laid down their life for other people. That is the pinnacle of love. That is doing something. It is understanding this person whom you love and meeting their needs. Sacrificing yourself, sacrificing your time and your money. One of the speakers at the conference said, you know, we really like to help each other. And someone asked, would you help me? And the answer was, well, I would absolutely help you as long as it doesn't cost me any time or money. Okay. If it costs me no time, it costs me no money or no sacrifice or anything, would anybody help us? But when we love one another, we sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed. God demonstrated, Romans 5:8, His own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, what does it say? Christ died for us. God doesn't sit in heaven and say how much He loves you. He demonstrated it. In your relationships, we don't tell one another how much we love them. We demonstrate it. And Jesus says, ultimately, He loves us, laid down His life for us as a pinnacle of love, and we do have an opportunity to respond to that love by loving Him in return. We've been talking in the Sunday school class downstairs. You have been talking about it here in John 14:20. I direct you to that particular verse 21. And at that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you. And he who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him. And we've been talking about that verse downstairs and upstairs here in our Sunday school class. If you have His commandments and keep them, that is the one who loves Jesus. But that's not the first time He said that. Actually, He said that a little bit earlier in John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. If you love Me, do what I say. Do what I say. He doesn't really even stop there. He says it again in verse 23. Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves Me, He will keep My commandments, or He will keep My word, and My Father will love Him, and we will come into Him and make our home with Him. Verse 24, He who does not love Me does not keep My words. And the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father who sent Me. That makes it tough. If I asked you to raise your hand if you love Jesus, I imagine most of you would raise your hand. I love Jesus. Okay, so how will we show our love for Jesus in the normal way that people show their love for one another? We love one another by meeting their needs. What need does Jesus have? Well, since He is God in the flesh, He pretty much has everything. I could give some money to Him, but, well, actually it's already His. I could try to figure out His needs to provide for Him what He needs, but He really doesn't need anything because He is God the Son. Oh, Jesus demonstrated His love for me. How do I love Jesus in return? And really there's only one way, and He gives it to us three times in this one chapter, which makes it very important that we understand how important it is that the way to love Jesus is to do what He says. Just to do what He says. That's the only way we can maintain that we love Jesus, to do what He says. And we should want to do what He says, because when we think about who Jesus is, that He is God the Son, right? That means He's perfect. That means He's holy. That means He is not a sinner. That means He told us the truth. That means He loves us. And whatever He says is good for us. Whatever He calls us to do is the best thing that we can do. And then when we do the best thing that we can do, which is doing what He says, then He blesses us abundantly. And we derive a great benefit from that. Because of all of those things, we read about what Jesus says, and we do them. We do them. Our first inkling or thought ought to be, if Jesus says it, it's good, it's true, I do it. I do it. Now, the next question, of course, is how do you know what Jesus wants you to do? How do we as a church know what Jesus wants us to do? It's pretty much in the book. That's why I'm so grateful that the Four C's is a conference about upholding the authority of Scripture. It's in the book. Jesus said it. It's true because He's the Son of God. He's not a liar, which would make Him a sinner, which would mean His death on the cross is meaningless, which means we're all still in our sins. I don't want to go there. He's told the truth. And what He says for us is the best for us. And so we do what He says in order to demonstrate to Him that we love Him. Sadly, a lot of individuals are in verse 24 in this situation. He who does not love me does not keep my words. He who does not love me and does not keep my word, they don't keep my word. They don't love me. It was a heartbreaking situation for me past couple of days. I met with a very good friend of mine who we knew in California. He lived in our community. He was a longtime Episcopalian and just loved the Lord, solid in his belief in the authority of Scripture, and he nearly died with a brain aneurysm. And just a dear, dear friend of mine. And while he was going through the surgery and all of that, the Lord really spoke to him, and he had kind of had this inkling in his younger years that the Lord wanted him to be in pastoral ministry. And he spent 20-some years of his life running away from God. He was a computer analyst for Kern County, worked in the big government bureaucracy. And God kept after him. And while he was down with this brain aneurysm, which he obviously survived, Mike said, "Okay, Lord, I'm all yours." And at age 43, he quit his job and went to seminary. One Episcopal seminary left in the United States, in Ambridge, Pennsylvania, that still holds to the authority of Scripture and still believes what it says. He went to that seminary, and he graduated at age 47, and he began pastoral ministry. And he lives just south of Rochester, and so I was able to go see him and spend a couple of days with he and his family. And he told me about his denomination and how the Episcopal Church is strained, and how his own bishop despises him because he just opens the Word and preaches the Word. And it was just heartbreaking to hear that. And he says, "You know, it feels like I'm totally alone. I'm alone. Leaders in my own denomination despise me because I believe what Jesus says." Because he loves the Lord. He loves Jesus. And he believes that Jesus is telling the truth. And he wants to do what Jesus says. So he does that. He's got this little congregation of 35 people, and they're trying to love Jesus and do what Jesus says. And they're like this little island in the midst of a whole group of folks that just don't. They just don't. Over in John 15, verse 10, Jesus says again, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." It's interesting that Jesus is not asking us to do anything that He Himself hasn't done. He said in the earlier portion of Scripture in 14, 23 and 24, it's not even His commandments, not even His word, it's the Father's word. He says it again in 15:10, that I do my Father's word, and in doing my Father's word, I abide in His love. When we do Jesus' word, we're actually doing the words of the Father. We are abiding in the Father's love. And we are abiding in Jesus' love. And what do you think Jesus will do with a church that is abiding in His love and doing what He says? What will Jesus do with a church like that? What's that? Oh, the blessings and the strength and the impact for the kingdom of God will be incredible. Absolutely incredible. And so we look at what Jesus says. We had a missionary last week, John Wainwright, talking about the ministry that he is doing, Bible translating work. Jessica's doing Bible translating work to reach a people that is lost and in darkness. And actually, it's a call that I read last week out of Matthew 28 that each and every one of us would go and share the good news, help folks to get baptized or connect themselves with Jesus and help them follow Him. Make disciples. Following Jesus by helping other people follow Jesus. And that's why the four C's is all about love God, love others, and as you go, make disciples. Make disciples. In other words, making disciples is going to be part of everyday life. And you've heard a lot recently about our direction for this church to learn how to make disciples. And don't think it's a program. It's not a program. We're not going to start a discipleship program on August 9th, and it should run about 6 weeks. No, that's not what it's all about. It's about learning to follow Jesus by helping other people follow Jesus in our everyday life, wherever you are. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, to be a light and a witness to help others come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what's called your front line. And there's one great thing about your front line, where you are connecting with the world. Every person's front line is different, with different people. And different connections. And we have influence in different ways. And an unlimited number of possibilities that we can follow Jesus by helping others follow Jesus. And so what we are, as the church, what we are planning to do is to help you do that. To help you look at your front line, your area of connection with the world. And help you follow Jesus by helping those connections follow Jesus as well. And help them to come to a place of faith. Help them to grow in their faith. We do that because Jesus says, do that. Make disciples as you go, as you live. Be the light. Be a witness for me. Help others come into a relationship with me, Jesus says. And we respond, we will do that because we love you, because you are the Lord. You loved us. We will demonstrate that we love you by doing what you say. And that is the best that you can do, the best that I can do, and the best that we can do together to see God do a mighty work in us. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us. And our Father, we, each one, in the truth of our own heart, would have to admit to you and confess that sometimes we don't do what you say. We act like ones who don't love you. We don't do your commandments. We don't do what you say. And for that, we repent and we confess that we have thought our way is better, or just doing nothing is better, when it's not. We get distracted. We get deceived by the evil one. We get deceived and distracted with all the busyness of life. Sometimes all the busyness of the church, to live Christ in the front line of our life, those areas of connection that we have with the world, with believers and unbelievers alike. So we pray that you would forgive us of that sin. We do love you. And we recognize the truth of your words today in John 14 and 15. That if we love you, we'll do what you say. And the ones who do what you say are the ones who love you. And you reveal yourself in a very special relationship to those ones. So we pray that you would help us. And help us to understand that we need each other's help to love you and to do what you say. As we look to focusing the ministry of this church on doing what Jesus says, we pray, Father, that you would give to us strength and courage and the power of the Holy Spirit to just do what Jesus says. For he is indeed the head of the body, the church, for his sake and for his glory. Amen.